25. Cape Cod. Cape Cod came up over the horizon for the second time. It was much harder to distinguish the land now. A snow flurry had started. At times it thickened and blanketed the land entirely from view. Then it would ease, and the drab land timidly poked through again. The pilgrims saw and heard the breaking sea still pulverizing the shoreline. A pale, watery sun, out of a pinky sky, low and weak, played feebly upon the lonely, cheerless land. It was a bleak, windswept place. The powerless shafts of light penciled the shore. There was little welcome here. Prudence shivered in the biting cold. The cutting wind blew bitterly off the freezing sea. Her mother left her side and without a word disappeared below. When she returned, she brought with her two of the coarse blankets. She wrapped them about her children. Billows of steamy vapor puffed out of their mouths and hung about them in a dense, clinging mist. Thin, hoary white spiders rapidly spread over their clothes. Moisture drops upon their blankets glistened frost-white. Rime formed on their eyebrows. The cold stung at the back of their noses. It forced them to sneeze. Their eyes smartened, reddened, and ran. The frosty air punched their lungs. Their chests grew tight, and breathing was an effort. The sailors, awaiting further instructions, huddled together and blew upon their frosted fingers, seeking all the shelter they could find to escape the all-penetrating wind.
Make way there, make way.
The gruff voice of the boatswain rasped out his orders. He pushed his way forward, melting a narrow passage through the frozen crowd. Just as Imprudence picked out the sailor who was taking the soundings. He was precariously perched in his tiny barrel lashed to the sides of the ship. He reminded them of a small bird in his nest. He held the dripping lead in his hand, and a great coil of cord attached to it. He raised his arm and threw the weight out into the sea. It hit the water with a mighty splash. The cord paid out in rapid pursuit. 10 fathoms, the leadsman called out in a monotonous tone. He dragged in the lead. When he recovered it, once again he threw it out into the sea. 9 fathoms. The captain shouted his commands. The Mayflower was slowly turned to bring her head into the icy wind. Round she came, sedately, queen-like. Let her go, let her go. The chains rattled and scrabbled madly across the deck. A tremendous splash followed at once. The anchor hit the sea. The voyage was ended. A strange, subdued silence came upon the pilgrims. They had arrived. Arrived? At last, it was over, all over. They could hardly believe it. Their dreadful voyage was over. They could not grasp it. They could not take it in. Over, over, the voyage is over. We have reached our new home. No more would they have to tolerate the intolerable. The appalling hardship of the wretched life at sea on this tiny prison ship was over. Over for good and all. Justice and Prudence dared not speak. They could feel the silent solemnity as it hung over the people. The pilgrims instinctively gathered in the center of the open deck. Steamy breath surrounded them, fog-like in the frozen air. Snow, silently, gently, fell upon them and clung. In spite of the snow, slowly, one by one, the men began to remove their tall black hats. Mr. Lovelace broke the silence. "Let us give thanks," he said, in a steady voice, with only the merest semblance of a crack in it. The pilgrims knelt upon the hard wooden deck. Flecks of snow pitched upon their bared heads and upon their clothes. Justice and Prudence knelt by their mother. Only Mr. Lovelace remained standing. They heard his voice as he gave heartfelt thanks to God for his protection for them upon the voyage and their safe arrival. All the pilgrims had come to long for the dry land. They had come to hate the continual movement of deck beneath their feet, the endless motion. They hated their vile conditions at sea. They longed to feel the solid and stable ground once again beneath them. Justice and Prudence felt the depth of emotion in their father's prayer. They knew that all the pilgrims felt as they did. O God, we thank you. We thank you with all our hearts that you have brought us safely to this place. You have delivered us from tempest, hunger, and many great dangers. We thank you that not one of your people has died whilst we have been upon this voyage. You have brought us safe across this vast and furious ocean. We pray that you will accept our heartfelt thanks. Now we pray that you will bless the foundation of our new settlement. May it prove to be for your glory and for the good of the people. Once again, O God, thanks be unto you. Thanks, praises be your great name for your wonderful goodness towards us. You heard the prayers of your people, and you have answered them. We thank you, O God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The final amen sounded as with one voice. The whole company joined in. They were united in their thanksgiving to God for his mercies towards them. Justice and Prudence opened their eyes and furtively looked around them. They saw the men start to don their hats and the people slowly pulling themselves to their feet. They were flicking off the snow that had silently gathered upon them. No one spoke. Soft tears flowed down many faces, not of sorrow, but of glad relief and true joy. The pilgrims had finally reached the land of freedom. Their freedom.